Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, I am joined by Katrina Pilkington. Katrina is one of our very early Fitfluential ambassadors, and I had so much fun on this interview, but also I think when you look up her post on fitfluentialradio.com, and she's also going to be sending a post that we'll have on fitfluential.com about her experience, she's one of the cutest gals ever. And when she told me that she was 40 years old, I'm like, are you kidding me right now? And I think you'll think the same thing, but she has tremendous energy, a lot of life experience. And we talked about so much good stuff. Like so many guests on the that come on the show, we end up opening the conversation to so many future topics that we can talk about. And in here, in this conversation, this initial conversation, we really talked about how she initially lost weight with in her early life with, you know, some crazy diets. We talk about some of the crazy diets that she's been on, that I've been on, and how she's come to a really comfortable, successful place in her fitness journey where it is a lifestyle. And she's a trainer. She's helping a lot of people with their fitness journey in a really reasonable way. And I know you're going to pick up quite a lot of tips here. We talk about stress, mental wellness for you moms out there. We talk a lot about, you know, how to fit in fitness when you're a new mom and not get discouraged, but also deal with, you know, the mental side of wellness, especially if after you've had a baby, right? So there's just a whole lot that we start to discuss here, and I'm going to have her back on the show in the future so that we can go into a deeper dive about some of these issues and topics that we uncovered today. But just a little bit from her official bio, if you will. Katrina is a Florida girl who now lives in Las Vegas as a proud wife, a type 1 wife, as she calls herself, a girl mom, NASM certified trainer, AFAA group fitness instructor and presenter. She lives life focusing on living with balance. Her goal is to help others turn their trials into triumph, like she was blessed enough to do. After losing a total of 55 pounds, she learned that hard work was the key to seeing change, not the easy stuff or fad diets. And I reference that we talk a lot about that in the show. Her story is now her passion to pay forward for her clients and her students. I hope you enjoy this interview with Katrina Pilkington. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, we welcome one of our earliest Fitfluential ambassadors, who I haven't seen for a while, but she's just the cutest thing ever. And when you look her up, I know you will agree with me. I can't believe she's old enough to have a child. Katrina Pilkington. Katrina, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kelly. Thanks so much for having me.
I'm so thrilled. And I was, you know, looking you up to send you the link on Facebook. And I know I said this to you before, but seriously, you're just the cutest thing. Your hair is adorable. I can't believe you're old enough to have a child. You have such energy. You've been through so much, and just, you're one of those people that even if you're not smiling, when people look you up, do you hear that a lot? You just look happy. You just look like you're just a really happy person. Do you hear that a lot?
Yes, sometimes I do, and I really appreciate it because I do have good genes, but I also have to shift my perspective no matter what I'm going through. So I appreciate the compliments all of the time.
You're adorable. I can't wait to hang out in person again someday. Today's topic is really going to be a good one, but before we dive into our topic and our focus for today, Katrina, whenever I have somebody on the show for the first time, I always really like when they tell their story of, you know, for you, Katrina, when was it in your life that you got into fitness? When was it that you became interested in whether it's fitness or maybe eating better or both? And why was that? And then lastly, when did you really hit your stride, find your groove, find your fitness where it was like a happy place? Because for many people, when they start choosing to get fit, it's almost like a punishment. It's like, I have to lose weight, therefore I will run. But then they find that they love it and it changes their lives. So that's what I mean by finding your fitness. So the floor is yours.
Thank you. Well, yeah, I'll try to cliff notes this as much as I can. But most of it started in 2010. I had been the girl that has done all the diets, all the fads my whole life. I was always overweight. I've never played a sport. I was never athletic. But some things switched in 2010 when I found my faith and I found my focus on fitness for myself to be better from the inside out, battling depression and battling being overweight. I started just running with friends, 5Ks, and it just shifted my focus to find that fitness was what was my outlet to feel positive versus always looking for that quick fix for the physical change. And then in 2012, I became a certified personal trainer and group fitness instructor, and that has continued to snowball as I've discovered fitness is where I want to be for a career. I want to pay forward everything I've learned to those people that were just like me that didn't understand fitness so that I can keep things simple and always keep the body changing and adapting from a young age to, you know, now being almost 40, having a child who was actually a miracle baby because I shouldn't have gotten pregnant purely from nutritional changes and making life easy through functional fitness that fits in everyday life.
One of the things I know I want to share on this show and educate on, and so many of my guests have experience in this area, but the premise that food is medicine, right? That food and what we eat, how much of it, of course, we eat, but you know what we're eating and our lifestyle can change so much versus pills that we typically think of in traditional medicine. So it's interesting to hear that, you know, you talk about your miracle baby. We might touch on that today and depression. Again, when you said your age, when you look her up, you never would ever think she's 40, but that's a beauty. And that's also what we talked about during the show. I said to that to her, I'm like, you look so young. And she said, that's what fitness does for you. And it really is true. Cause I'm 49 and I'm not saying, look, compare me to Katrina, but I feel damn good about 49. And most people, when I tell them I'm 49, they're like, shut up. That's a great place to be. And I firmly believe it's because of the way I live and, you know, leading a healthy lifestyle that helps with how you look. So that's a whole other show. But, you know, I want to pick up on something that you mentioned because that's part of what we're going to talk about today, which is we said we're going to talk about not getting stuck in the diet fad cycle. And you mentioned that in 2010, when you found your faith and you started working out for a different reason, that you before that, if I'm understanding you correctly, you were doing a lot of fad diets. You're trying every fad diet on the planet and you were always overweight. What would you, for those that are listening, like how would you define a fad diet? Because there are so many, but there are also kind of, and in fact, the podcast before you, I was being interviewed on another show and we were talking about there can be diet trends, and even though they're new and trendy, they can end up being good for you. Not every fad or new trend can be bad, but what would you say are some of the fad diets of the past that you remember attempting? Because I know I did the cabbage soup diet.
All of them, girlfriend. Like, that's the thing, and we can talk about trends. There's a difference to me between a fitness trend and a diet fad. So I don't even want to say it out loud, but I've done all of the terrible pills. So, you know, the ephedra that made my heart almost explode and made me sweat profusely. The cabbage diet, the cayenne pepper, lemon diet, Atkins. I've tried South Beach. I've tried low-fat, fat-free, only meat, only vegetables. I've tried everything. And not to say they didn't work. Of course, changing any kind of diet in your caloric intake will decrease some kind of calories or weight sometimes, but it's not a lifestyle. Wasn't a lifestyle for me.
You made a good point. You know, there's a difference between something trend, like, for example, it's 2018, right? I would say something that is trending would be, you know, the ketogenic approach, right? And I incorporate much of, I'm probably not as strict, quote unquote, keto as I used to be, and paleo. Somebody might say, well, paleo is a trend. I have been adopting a paleo way of life, but, you know, am I rigid? No, I've found my own way to deal with it. So, right. When we're talking about fad diets, I mean, we're talking about things, in my opinion, like you almost see fad diets in like the magazines when you're checking out at the grocery store, like the really like Woman's World or all the paper. It used to be National Enquirer. And that's where they would have like Dolly Parton lost 75 pounds in 3 weeks on this diet. And it doesn't seem to ever usually be that the fat. Do you think the fad diets are found in some of the fitness magazines or in some kind of those off the rack kind of publications?
I think it's everywhere. When you go on Twitter, Instagram, when you go on your news thread on your Apple phone, everything can be appealing because it's like, okay, this is new. Maybe it worked for them. That's what I think my biggest takeaway I want for the listeners to be is, you know, maybe like for you, you know, if keto works for you or paleo works for somebody, cool. That's great. If it works for you and it's sustainable, it works for you. But what works for this person may not always work for you. Every body is so different. For my family, my husband has type 1 diabetes and, you know, we've tried different things. What works for us is just keeping things 80-20 because also mentally you get this rebellious spirit inside of you. And when you're told you can't have, you know, A through Z foods, you start to rebel against it and resent the quote unquote diet versus embracing the positive changes you could take away from learning that way of living and eating.
You can tweak your nutrition and what you're eating when you've hit a plateau. But also, I think it's important before we start getting into the plateau part, let's talk to the people that are listening that maybe are just starting, or maybe they've really never had a problem, you know, with weight. And then they hit a certain age. It happens to everybody. You hit a certain age and all of a sudden you're like, did my metabolism just die? Like all of a sudden you can't go out with your friends and have buffalo wings and beer every Friday night. You're gaining weight and you know, you can't process alcohol the same way. So for people that are just starting, you know, you just made a very great point, and it's something I'm trying to drive home on the show to everyone, because if you don't get this, it can be very frustrating. We get a lot of beginners, if you will, people just starting their fitness journey that write in, and Katrina, I bet you hear this a lot. You're a trainer.
Yes.
Do people come to you and they'll say something similar like this? Well, I need to lose weight. I'm pretty sure I just need to cut out gluten, or I'm pretty much sure that it's just low carb, right? Carbs are bad. If I just cut out carbs, I heard my friend, she cut out carbs and she lost X amount of weight and it's always in a month. And people that have that attitude or that thought process going into working out or getting fit or losing weight, they're automatically, they've got their mind in the wrong place because they're like, what's the most extreme, most uncomfortable thing I can do to lose weight in the shortest amount of time? Do you still see that a lot?
Absolutely. Everybody wants the quick fix, right? We want instant gratification. It's part of our lives every single day. But one thing my journey has taught me, you know, and I always have like a pre-baby and then a post-baby journey, is that patience is key. And also, like I said, making sure you find what works best for you. I tell clients all the time, what worked for me may not work for you. And another point that you just made was depleting yourself of something and saying, okay, well, if I stop eating so much insert blank food, then I'll lose weight. It's not that simple all the time. There's hormone imbalances, there's nutrition, there's hydration. There's so many different things that come into play with every single person. So I explain that you're an individual. Your goals are different from this person's goals. You cannot look in the mirror or look in a magazine and compare yourself to somebody else and their journey. What works for you is going to work for you. And when it stops working, we shift something to that point of breaking the plateau. Especially when it comes to taking in food and taking in water, it's much more complicated than just removing calories or removing a food. Like gluten, to your point, gluten intolerances are not for everyone, and not all gluten is created equal. So if somebody says they need to stop eating gluten because it's hurting their gut, then by all means, take it away. But if it's not affecting you, you removing gluten from your diet may not reduce the foods that you need to reduce in order to see gains on your fitness performance.
So true. And if more, I mean, I think back to, you know, I don't even know particularly when it was, but I remember me being a fitness newbie, right? And I can't really say, and this is just the truth, I'm not saying this to be dramatic, but I can't really say I've felt in my whole life that I've ever reached my goal. And a lot of my trainers have said to me, they're like, Kelly, when you hit this goal, you won't be happy there. You know, I'm just that type of personality. I'm working on it, but I can't say I've ever reached my goal. I've always been a curvy individual. And I think that my hormonal problems that now have been diagnosed I think I had them a lot earlier than I thought. And so I was working with a difficult metabolism and I always wanted that quick fix. And I remember that people would say to me, you know, hey, if a woman gained weight with a baby, it took 9 months to get it on. You've got to give yourself 9 months to get it off. And they would say that with weight. You know, they'd say, oh, if you're trying to lose 25 pounds, you didn't gain 25 pounds overnight. You got to give. And I remember rolling my eyes when people would say that. I'm like, come on, because you'd always hear a story about someone's brother's sister's cousin who lost X amount of weight in a short amount of time. But the bottom line is that we should drive home as an introduction is it really is true. The faster, would you say, because you're the certified trainer in this conversation, although I am getting my certification this year, which awesome. I'm excited about, would you say that it's true that the slower you lose, the faster you lose weight, the least likely you are to keep it off versus the slower you lose it, the more likely you are to sustain that weight loss? Would you say that's accurate?
I would say it's kind of a loaded question in two parts. I would say yes to being patient and taking more time. I tell my clients the average I want to see them lose at most is 1 to 2 pounds a week. Anything over that is either water or some kind of express weight loss. You know, when I see people wearing sweatsuits and working out, trying to get rid of the water that they actually need to replace, like weight is very relative, which leads me into point two. Weight is not everything. Mm-hmm. So to your point about seeing this person's sister's cousin losing all this weight, what about their body composition? Was their fat loss down or was it their muscle that they lost? Or did they get their inches measured? There's been times where I've lost weight and thought I didn't lose any weight. That means I didn't have any success. And then when I took my measurements, I lost 10 inches purely from nutrition changes. So
true.
Those are two important things to think about for sure.
I was actually just having this conversation with my man friend last weekend because he's somebody that is in outstanding shape. And he has, you know, stayed active, was in sports when he was younger and has stayed active. And he and I, it's awesome because, to be in a relationship where both people are committed to a healthy lifestyle and, you know, to only getting healthier as we get older. But we were talking about our fitness goals and what we wanted to work on. And he said, I want to lose X amount of pounds. And I said, I want to lose X amount of pounds. But, you know, I have more experience being around fitness individuals. And I know this premise of what you just said, which is as you're working out and doing quote unquote cardio and weights, you can be dropping fat, but gaining muscle. And so it's a very strange concept for people to understand that if you're weighing yourself every day, you can actually be dramatically transforming your body, but the weight on the scale might only vary 2 or 3 pounds. And if that's your only If that's all you're looking at, so I'm glad you brought that up, you could get frustrated. And I can tell everybody listening, I've used this story quite a lot last year. So we're now in what, April of 2018. It was March of 2017 when I started seeing my doctor and he tweaked here in Austin. He tweaked my hormones. We actually did about a month of the HCG diet protocol to jumpstart me because my thyroid was just jacked. And for me, I don't know what it was about that HCG, but it jump-started something. And it was hard for about 30 days, but I did it. But I lost a dramatic amount of fat and I was still able, and that's one of the things about HCG, you can still build muscle. But the interesting thing is when I went back to see him, I had lost 4 inches on my waist, like 3 inches on my hips, an inch and a half off of my upper thigh, an inch off my lower thigh. All of these inches lost, they weighed me. The difference in my weight with all of those inches lost, everyone, was 2 pounds. Yep. So that can absolutely happen. And I'm going to ask you as a trainer, Katrina, do you have people that come to you that say, well, I heard, because this is a funny way of saying it. People go, muscle weighs more than fat. When you really think about it, that's like saying what weighs more, a pound of water or a pound of cotton? It's still right. A pound. Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership. Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our Fitfluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year, I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now.
I talk about it as far as density. So if you were to look at the same size in your hand, like let's just say a palm-sized amount, not weight, but a palm-sized amount of fat versus a palm-sized amount of muscle, the muscle is going to technically weigh more because it's denser. It's got more molecules. It's got more energy cells. It's got more to it than the fat does. And the fat doesn't have any kind of positive effect on the body. Well, it does for insulation to an extent, but the muscle has more functionality and is attached to more in your neurological system. So it's going to be like hardier, I guess you can call it. So that's why to that point of my story, same thing. I did a situation where I did 3 to 4 weeks of adding in more complex carbohydrates because I had been eating way too clean because I'm always moving. People that know me know that I'm always in motion. I never stop moving. So I think I wasn't eating enough to fuel what I was doing. And when I added in those complex carbohydrates and more hearty protein from plant sources, I actually lost more fat and was able to increase my muscle structure because it was getting the fuel that it needed.
God, these are all such great points. And again, before I ask, kind of diving into my next question, for everybody listening, let's just drive this point home. Whether you are just starting your weight loss journey or wanting to get fit, or whether you've hit a plateau and you don't think that you can get past it, please, 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 I've had to learn this lesson. I don't want to say the hard way, but I'm so glad that I have learned this lesson in that what we started to talk about at the beginning of the show, each one of us has to find our fitness. That's our Fitfluential tagline, so I'm driving that home. But the truth is, you really have to find what works for you, and there's not one diet or workout program that is going to fit everybody. So if you can kind of get that in your head and commit to giving yourself a year, giving yourself the long term, like Katrina mentioned, and saying, you know, this is what I'm going to do in 2018. I'm gonna try a whole bunch of different things. I've never done yoga. I want to try yoga. I'm going to work on my stress reduction and commit to yourself that you're not going to tie yourself to losing weight by a certain amount of time. You're going to explore and find what works for you. If you can do that, you're going to get much more reward even out of the process than if you say, what's the most extreme diet or workout program that I can try? And if you tie yourself to, you know, again, unrealistic timetables, it's going to be more frustrating. And what you're committing yourself to is a path where you just keep trying different things, nothing sticks, and you give up, when realistically there's a fit in there. You just haven't given yourself time to go, okay, this seemed to work well with me. Like for me, I've learned that my body does better with lower carbs and higher fats. Some people, there might be some trainers that might sit down with me and go, I probably wouldn't give you that many fats in your diet. I'd probably do this. And your ability to be comfortable in knowing yourself as you go along is going to help you. So please, 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 if you're just getting started or if you're interested in hearing what we're going to talk about next with plateau, you're going to pick up on what Katrina is saying, and I'll mirror it, that you're going to try things and take a little bit out of this, a little bit out of that, and you'll find what works for you. But the more that you can go into these, the more that you can go into any venture in your life, in your fitness life, with that attitude, instead of going, I'm doing this for 6 weeks and it better work, venture into this as an adventure, as an exploratory method to find out what you like and what works for you, because you will find what works for you. Just give it time. So that said, Katrina, back to you. When we're talking about folks that are just getting started, you know, and wanting to lose weight, and then next we're going to go right into plateaus. Mm-hmm. What would you say is the most common thing that you see when people are coming to you? Because it surprises a lot of people when I talk to them. They'll tell me what they've been eating and how much they've been working out, and they're stuck and they can't lose any fat.
And a lot of people I talk to aren't eating enough. They're working out too much.
Yes.
Do you see that more people that come to you are not eating enough and working out too much, which you might think, well, that should work. Or is it really that it's people are just eating way too much and they're not active? What is there a trend either way?
I completely agree with you. You totally hit the nail on the head. 90% of the people that come to me, when I say, one of the first things I say to a new client is, give me a food journal of a day in the life of you. And what does it look like when you're eating? I look at it and what they're eating is not even enough to fuel a sedentary person, meaning somebody who doesn't work out. So
and what would you say like that? Like when you say most of them are not eating enough, like what give an example of that, because there's a lot of people listening going, I'm sure I'm eating too much.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What would you say?
Well, I would say like calorically, I would say between 900 to 1,000 calories, which is so little. And they'll just tell me, you know, I wake up, I have a cup of coffee, you know, I have maybe some almonds. And then at lunch, I have a salad with chicken. And then I go the rest of the day and I get so busy that I have a pretty big dinner. And then I just drink some water and I go to bed. And when I explain to them what I eat, they say it sounds like a grown man because I eat all day long. What works for somebody doesn't work for somebody else. What works for me is eating about 6 to 8 times a day, smaller portions. That's me. Or eating 3 times a day and having 2 to 3 snacks. But I eat anywhere between 1,800 to 2,000 calories or more a day of whole food, like healthy sources, not just food. And I'm also not obsessed with numbers. So I will say, I know this is a loaded answer, but a lot of people stress so much about losing weight that stress is in the form of cortisol in their belly, taking away that ability to lose fat.
Oh, amen. We're doing a whole series on this, by the way,
yes.
Because I've learned this personally in my life. And the more I've just happened upon conversations, and they've just happened. Marissa, who works for us, I think I'm interviewing her on the show in a couple of weeks. You know, she's 25 or so, a personal trainer and active all the time. And she said, and I didn't realize this, but she said, you know, a year or so ago, I was obsessing about everything, labeling every food as good or bad. I was freaking out if I had a donut and just overanalyzing everything, avoiding social situations. Then she's like, I'm done. And she stopped worrying about it, relaxed, chilled out, and she's getting in the best shape of her life. She feels better. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I saw her. We had lunch at Jack Allen's.
Nothing wrong with that.
All right. And I remember seeing her. I'm like, wow, you are just, just fantastic shape. But more and more, I run into women that are having that same thing, the stress. So that's a whole other topic. Would love to have you back on the show for that, because I think the more we can cover that and get people more comfortable with, like, let's, you know, bring it out of the closet, people. Let's talk about it. Like emotional eating and stressing out about your food, it's not doing you any good.
No.
But what you mentioned, and for everybody listening, you know, this is again where you have to get comfortable finding what works for you. Now, Katrina, you mentioned that you're like at 1,800, 2,000 calories a day. You've figured out, you've gotten yourself to a really happy place. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen for you overnight, right?
No.
You had to tweak and test to figure out, and you probably will have to tweak and test as you get older, when you hit 45, whatever it is, you know, our bodies change as we get older. So you'll probably tweak, but you didn't just start working out and you were at 1800 and that's what you picked and that's what worked and that's where you stayed, right?
No, I started food journaling just like I did with my clients back when I started in 2010. I probably did it for maybe 5 years obsessively on apps and things like that. But then you got to give yourself a chance to look at what you're doing and say, okay, I think I've got this. I think I know the nutrition information and the food that I'm eating. So let me work on making sure that I completely change things up every 6 to 8 weeks so that my body is always on its toes. And to be honest with you, when I had my little one and I was breastfeeding, I was always having dairy all the time. And people talked about dairy-free, soy-free, all this stuff. And I was like, I don't have to worry about it because I don't really need it. She couldn't handle it. So I deleted that from my diet and noticed a change in myself. So that's triggered this whole other way of eating that I'm eating now, where I'm still having those amount of calories, but from way different sources of food, and still triggering that response in my body to keep burning fat with my workouts adjusting.
Ultimately, here's the thing, whether it's dairy or gluten, they can be very popular topics about cutting them out of your diet. And again, just to drive home the point we started with in the beginning of the show, I've cut out, so I feel that I'm not lactose intolerant. I am sensitive for sure. There are forms of dairy that really affect me. And because I found out over time what I avoid. Like if I were to have a frozen yogurt, I would be the most miserable wretch the rest of the day. If I have ice cream, same thing. A glass of milk, same thing. But if I have or cottage cheese, which I used to love, I can have Greek yogurt just fine. I can have cheese for the most part just fine. So just know that there's some things like you might want to try cutting dairy or cutting out a lot of gluten. And then, you know, it doesn't mean you can never have a cracker again or you're going to explode. So again, different strokes, different folks. Right. You'll learn if you calm down along the way. But ultimately, Katrina, what I'm hearing you say is bottom line is variation on a regular basis, diversity in your training and diversity in your diet, quote unquote, and I'm using like diet over here with air quotes, is beneficial.
Absolutely. And what I tell, so I'll talk to two different groups of people. To you beginners that are just starting out, like take a deep breath and don't stress out. Just know that you took that initiative to say, I want to get healthier. I want to start my journey. And that is step one. That's the biggest step and hardest step to take. The second step is just to take a look at your hydration. Are you drinking enough water? Are you drinking at least 8 ounce servings of water a day at minimum to help your body function on the inside out? Because a lot of our body on the outside might not be functioning the way we want it to on the inside because we don't have enough fluid. So I remember when I was losing weight, I didn't even drink water. It was terrible. I didn't even like it because
I'm horrible with water. It's so
because your taste buds actually morph and adjust. So when I was a kid and I was growing up, I drank soda, juice, you name it. So when I sat down and said, okay, I want to lose weight, the number one thing I did, the very first thing before I even started moving, was I took everything out of my house that wasn't water. And I made sure it was the only option I had to drink. And I lost weight immediately because my body was now functioning and working properly versus funneling through different sweeteners and sugars that I didn't need.
Hmm. And you know, you made a good point about, because to drive it back home, or excuse me, to drive the point back home about a food journal. Mm-hmm. I remember when I first started really losing weight effectively, the first time in my life as an adult, it was after, this was like way back, like, I mean, when I was still doing firm workouts on VCR. Uh-huh. And mm-hmm. I just read an article about calorie consumption, and it was back, this was still like when low fat stuff was really the craze. And it was, you know, I was eating a lot of lean cuisine meals and healthy choice pizza and Snackwell's cookies and Skinny Cow. I mean, everything was like low calorie, low fat. These are low fat. These are low cal. These Skinny Cow ice cream bars are 130. So I'd have several of them. And I remember reading an article that said, you know, write down a food journal. And for those of you listening, if you're at a plateau, or if you're just starting, and then Katrina, I want you to chime in on this, you can still be eating too much or too little. And a food journal, I don't care how healthy you think you know you're eating. I said to myself, look, I'm eating chicken breast. I'm having eggs for breakfast. I'm doing this. I've got it. And then when I started writing down for what I was eating, for me at that point, I was eating a lot more. Now, my problem, fast forward to today, is I think very common with a lot of people. You can be working out too much and eating far too little. And that's when, again, you will jack your cortisol and you will store weight, especially around your middle. And so a food journal can help. Do you get a lot of resistance, Katrina, when clients come to you and you say, do you tell them start a food journal? And do you get a lot of people that go, I know what I'm eating?
Some, I would say 90% don't, only because my clients, I've been blessed enough to have clients that understand the way that I operate. They know my story. They know that I'm in it just as much as they are. And I do it from a good place so that I'm doing it for accountability too. You know, like I explained that you can't change your body unless you change what you put in your body. And you can't change what you put in your body unless you know what you put in your body. So you might be thinking you've been doing the right thing for the past 5 years, but obviously that right thing ain't working. So you've got to have the self-confidence to know, okay, I'm open to learning. I'm open to changing, and I can only do that by being accountable and physically sitting down to take a look at what I'm eating.
You can't change your body unless you change, you know, what you're putting into it and how much you're putting into it, but you can't do that if you don't know.
Right.
And I can tell you that there have been so many aha moments in my life where I thought I was doing X, and when I started, so here's a big point, wherever you are, write it down. And if somebody comes to you, whether it's something you read online, or maybe you just listen to this podcast and you're like, well, what the heck? I know what I'm eating. I can't tell you how many times Whitney Jones, who I've interviewed on this show, she's a IFBB pro. She's out in Phoenix. She just won the Arnold this year. And she's the one of the trainers that said to me, she was going to write up a training program. And she goes, write me a food journal for a week. And I'm like, well, I can just tell you what I'm eating. She goes, Kelly, write me a food journal. And I remember thinking like, oh, I know, like I was like a child. I know what I'm eating. And right. I've had my first trainer, Jay, at Lifetime Fitness. He said the same thing. I thought I knew what I was eating and I wasn't. And then when I wrote it down, it's so easy. And the example that you shared a little bit ago about people who have just coffee for breakfast, mm-hmm. run to the office, they'll grab, you know, I'm kind of dealing with my man friend on this. He's like, I'll go, what did you have for lunch today? And he's like, a protein bar. And I'm like, okay, let's work on this. But it's so common. My brother does the same thing. Coffee for breakfast, quote unquote, I don't have time. And then he runs to the office, doesn't eat all day, comes home and has this huge dinner. And then yeah. someone like him or so many folks that I've talked to have said, oh my God, I pigged out at night. And then they think they've eaten too much. But right. in reality, if you come home and even if you had like a steak and a baked potato and something that you thought was really bad, you could easily be just eating 500 or 600 calories, right? And totally. People, do you think that a lot of people, here's a question. I know that, Katrina, like you and me and folks in the fitfluential world, right? We know calories because we've been looking stuff up for a while. We've been going to Wendy's through the drive-thru and looking up what a grilled chicken sandwich is and the macros and all that. So yeah. we know if we see a banana, it's about 100 calories, 20 carbs. But your average Joe who's just getting started has no idea.
Right.
Am I right in saying that? Do you think a lot of people listening have no idea what the caloric or nutritional macro breakdown is for most foods?
They don't. And I know that it can seem overwhelming. I know for me, when I became a trainer, honestly, it was because I was being trained and I wanted to learn what he was talking about so I could say, okay, I get what you're saying. I didn't want to be the newbie that was just trusting what somebody else told me. But also it's about, like to our point before, about not doing what everybody else is doing. So somebody might say, oh, well, I'm eating a bunch of fruit now. And that's not enough. Well, that could be high in sugar. So understanding how food works in your body, focusing on foods that are not processed, that actually come from the earth. I always tell people those are usually a safer bet than something that is. And then understanding what I call the trifecta. You have fat, carbs, and protein that you need as different energy sources in your body. And even if you were just to Google protein and Google carbohydrates and Google fat and learn what they do in your body, you're winning the battle because you're not just going off of hearsay. You're actually teaching yourself something that's important to you.
When I first started paying attention to food, like I said, it was when I did that first food journal. And when I first started paying attention to my calories, and I realized for me at that time, I was having too many calories. You know, I did the, hey, cut 500 calories a week or something and you'll lose 2 pounds a month or something like that. I don't know. And it worked. That was the first time I started losing weight because I counted calories. But back then, I mean, this was well before the internet was the way it was now. And I remember there was a website called Dottie's Weight Loss Zone. And I think right. it was a woman who had done Weight Watchers. And so she had the counts, you know, of, I don't know, Weight Watchers points or something on a website. And that's when I started finding out, you know, again, I used to go to Wendy's drive-thru at Ohio State all the time. And I would look up what the calories and the macros were. And so back to what Katrina said, just know that the information is out there for everything you buy in the grocery store. And if it's produce, if it's meat, chicken, fish, whatever, the information is available on Google. There's a fantastic app called MyFitnessPal that a ton of us in this community use. We'll link up to that. Yes, they had a security breach, but I believe everything's fine. Just change your password. There's so much information. Any restaurant you go to, I'm pretty sure that it's required that they make their nutrition information accessible. So most of it is on MyFitnessPal, but in other words, if you're going to go, say you're stuck and you're going to a meeting, this would happen to me a lot when I was traveling for business and I was in between meetings and I had to get something to eat. And I'm sorry, judge me if you will, but sometimes you got to go through a drive-thru. And absolutely. I got to know, I would look up Taco Bell and Taco Bell has, for example, I'm just using this as an example, they have a fresco menu and I would get two chicken soft tacos, fresco style with extra salsa. And it was 370 calories, I think. And it was two soft tacos. And of course I'd get a huge diet Mountain Dew or whatever. Judge me later.
No, you can eat well on the go. It's just, you know, not stressing out and just doing what you can with what you've got and figuring, okay, well, if this isn't working, then maybe I can try this instead, and not beating yourself up. Maybe your body actually needs a cheat. Maybe you need a cheat day to spark your metabolism up from Wendy's. Who cares?
You can absolutely. And I'm glad you brought it up. It's a good note to close on. And we will, number one, Katrina, I want you back on the show to talk about plateaus, definitely to talk about the whole stress and cortisol issue, because that's a topic we want to address a lot this year. But you know, you make a great point. And the more that we can get comfortable listening to our bodies, I mean, I've had times where, you know, sometimes I just have an overwhelming feeling like I need to have beef. And I've just understood, like, that's my body telling me something. And I used to worry, oh, what's my trainer going to think if I have this or that? Start listening to your body and chilling the hell out, because when you do that and you respect your gut and respect your brain and your instinct, trust me, you can get to that place where you won't flip out and everything. But again, back to the macros thing, guys and gals, there's so much readily available information for you. Just start looking it up and give yourself a break. Give yourself a break to start learning about this thing. And then it will become second nature, where you can be nerds like Katrina and I and be like, oh, you know, banana has 100 calories and 20 grams of carbs. And
join the crazy crew.
But it's all fun, because I got news for you. Even though we're talking about diet today and calories and macros, guess what? The two people on this call, guess what? We both go out to eat. We both enjoy desserts. We both enjoy, I mean, like, I have wine every weekend. I wasn't for a while, but I am. I have dessert. I love donuts. So balance, and you'll find it. But it took both of us a while to get to that place. So you can get there too. Katrina, for everybody that's listening, tell them where they can find you online.
Yes, you guys can go to my blog/website at FittyKatz, so FittyKatz.com. I'm on Twitter and Facebook under FittyKat, and on Instagram, I am, except you have to add an underscore at the end because somebody else has my name. Put the underscore and look for my face.
We'll link all everything for Katrina up in the show notes as well on fitfluentialradio.com. Katrina, obviously it was a pleasure having you. This is a conversation we should absolutely continue. I encourage everybody, go find her online. She is adorable and just full of energy and information. I wanted to encourage people, if you're in Vegas, they could potentially train with you in person. Do you offer online training or no?
I do online and in person. I'm getting kind of booked up, but I'm still available for questions and workout plans and such. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Okay, cool. So everybody knows where she is. And for everybody listening, I hope this episode was helpful for you. We certainly will be addressing, as I mentioned, a lot of these issues going forward. But until next time, I hope you guys have a great rest of the week. And we hope Fitfluential Radio is helping you to find your fitness. See you guys next time.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace. Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.